Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3. I'll read it from the screen because my version, I think, is a bit different. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, for you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Amen. God's word is good and true. Pastor?
Thanks, Art. Appreciate it. You can just leave that text up there. Welcome to church, everyone. Thank you, music team, sound people. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. It's Living Letters Sunday. We take an opportunity to acknowledge that we serve a risen Savior who gave us a written word. And Jesus is the living word that comes and dwells in the hearts of men and women. And we have living letters, a living testimony of what God does in and through people all the time. And it's just a privilege to be here and to see some folk that have been away for a little bit, but now they're back. And I'm just going to wrestle Eli out of your hands for a second there, Ford. Come on up here, Eli, and Judah, come on up here, and Liam, come on up here. I just want, before I introduce our Living Letters couple, I just noticed we got three young men who have journeyed with us for a long time. And speaking of living letters, look at this group. Come on over. Oh, they're going to go in order. I think we'll go in order of height. That'll make it easy for you guys. I just want you to know that the journey of these three individuals with us has been quite wonderful. And they're great testimonies of, number one, amazing parenting. What God does through moms and dads who love him. And then they've made some decisions. Not normal, conventional, let's get lots of education and lots of money and lots of stuff. But we'll get educated, but we're going to serve others. And next week, you're going to hear from Liam. He's going to be preaching about missions, and we're looking forward to that. And yeah. And I've been very privileged to have people who gave me an opportunity when I was young to be involved in ministry. And if we're going to do anything in this church, is to give people opportunity, especially young men and women, to get a chance to build their ministries. And Judah's been away for a little bit, and he's on a ministry down in the States. He's going to talk about that for a second. I'm going to give you a minute each to give us a little quick update on what's next for you and the last year. And we're just glad you're here, and I want everybody to see you. And welcome back, brother. So cool to have you here, and you. I love you guys. And Liam, just give us a minute on what the next couple of years holds for you.
All right. So this is, I've only got 3 weeks left in Canada. In mid-June, I'll be heading back to New Zealand to begin reconnecting with family and friends. I plan to do that for about a year, and then I want to come back to Canada and work with the mission in the field of Canada. That's going to look like working with them in Durham at first for a few years, and then long term, I want to look at the Arctic as a potential field.
Yeah.
So I'll be coming back to you guys.
And we're looking forward to that. And I know that our missionary coordinators here are going to be definitely wanting to send you and be part of financing you. So you're a blessing.
So I actually just got to finish my first year at the training center in. It's like the same as at the training center here in Canada with Ethnos, but it's in the States. It's a little bit longer. It's 2 years. So I just finished my first year. I'm here just spending time with you guys and spending time working and just spending some time with my family for the summer, and then I'm going back for one more year. And hopefully, if I'm able to just raise the funds and if the Lord's willing, I'll be able to do the off-grid tech course there. It's like for different like small engines, solar panel stuff, just all sorts of different things that can be helpful on the field. So I can help my team, hopefully looking forward to ministry in Indonesia or other places, so I can help just work on my own projects or maybe even help other teams with that too. So, yeah, that's my plans.
We're always reminded that Jesus said, listen, you're going to be my witnesses. Judea, Samaria, Indonesia, uttermost parts of the earth. Thanks for having the courage, Judah, to just go where God wants you to go. It's a blessing. Eli.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Missed you guys. I just finished my second year of Bible school down in Texas, and now the Lord has opened up a door to go out to Abbotsford, B.C., to do an Immerse program. So that's where I'll be an intern, a pastoral intern in their church, and at the same time going to be doing my Master's of Biblical Leadership. And after 2 years, and then hopefully after another 2 years, I'll get my Master's of Divinity. So I'm excited for that.
Yes. And then you're coming right back here where you belong, brother. That's my plan. I want to pray for these guys and just thank God for all of them. Come in tight, man. Lord Jesus, thank you for these precious young men that you have set apart, not only before the foundation of the world, but while they were in their mother's womb. Thank you for their moms and dads, for bringing them up, teaching them to know you and to follow you well. Thank you for their grandparents. The legacies in this family run deep. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that we can pray for them, for their future, for the ladies that they will marry, the kids that they will have, and the generations that will know you because of their decisions. Lord, keep them pure. May they stand for the traditional faith of the risen, reigning Lord Jesus Christ. And may they walk in his ways. Love you with all their heart and their neighbor with as much as they love themselves. Use them, Lord, for your glory. Thank you for keeping them safe, for bringing them back to us. We love them, and we're just grateful that you've added them to our number. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, boys. I love you, man. Okay, I love you guys. You're on next week, brother. Do me proud. Eli will be speaking as well this summer. And Judah, are you here for the summer, Judah? Good, then maybe we'll get you up for August interview. That'll be awesome. Living Letters, known and read of all men. That's you. That's me. I use the phrase, there's five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you, your life. Most people won't read the first four, but they will see how you live and how you love and how you interact. And it's just great to be around people. There's a special anniversary today, 23 years of marriage. Our dear friend Kathy Martin and Dale, who's always faithful up there. I had a beautiful conversation with Kathy this week. I said, Kathy, do you have some marriage advice? And in classic Kathy fashion, she just paused and, I don't know, I'm not sure. And, oh yes, boom, and downloaded some beautiful, beautiful principles of communication, faithfulness, and love. It's nice to be around people who can mentor and change your life in real time. God always gives us a song on the way up, and Julie and I are in the car today, and this beautiful song came on the airwaves. It goes like this, fits so well with our living letters, our lives testimony. Look at Jordan, talk about a living letter right there. That doesn't tell you what God looks like. I don't know what it is. This is I'll pray this over you, little Jordan. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, they were my dreams at the start. And the hopes for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes. My castles all crumbled. My fortune turned to loss. So I wrapped it all up, the rags of my life. Hmm. and I laid them at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Father, would you continue your work as only you can do in and through the hearts of our people that you've given us. Use what's said today, Lord, to bring glory to yourself, honor to your name, and people into a relationship with you. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to invite Ron, Beth, and Ron to come up, please. I'm giving you two the love seat today because you guys don't mind getting cozy. There are incredible gifts that God gives us in our journey with him. And I'll tell you, for those of you who know these wonderful people, you will. I'm going to give the mic to Beth because she's going to want to start, I'm sure.
That's dangerous.
Some of the most beautiful gifts. Are we okay, Steve-O? Am I too close to something? Oh, it's the monitor, isn't it? It's always the dreaded monitor. Is that better? Thanks, Steve-O. It's amazing how God gives us wonderful gifts of people. And when Beth and Ron showed up at the front door, immediately we started having a conversation, and there were people here that they had met and known and had history with, and it was just such a great fit. But what I'm really pleased that Beth and Ron didn't do is they didn't walk around asking permission to love, disciple, and be used. They just did it. A man was literally concerned about a loved one in Strathcona dying. And Ron said, I'm happy. I'm hearing a little bit of echo here. Can you hear that, Steve-O? Okay, is that better? Or can you not hear me now? Should I just use a mic? Let me try that. Can I go this route, Steve? Let's just give that a whirl. I don't know if this one's number. Someone's mic. Are we on? Thank you. I love technology. We will get through this. Someone mentioned, you know, we have a convalescing family member who's dying. Can you hear me, John? No. John can't hear me. I got her pretty close. Steve-O's working on it. He's got it. He's the man. That sounds way better. Thanks, Steve-O. So someone was actually passing away, and without hesitation, Ron went to the bedside, and they just wanted someone to pray them into the kingdom. And I'm not sure when this person passed, but you were there in perfect timing. And there has been a number of people in this church who have just been discipled by this couple. And I wanted you to get to know them because they've been a real gift from the Lord. I want you to hear their story. And thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying. Thank you for offering your gifts. When a lot of people, let's just say, in your season of life, have decided the golf courses in Florida and the lakes in Muskoka are advantageous, and you've come to be with us and to be very much part of the ministry team here and very much pastors, and we're just grateful to have you. So how did it start? Take us from the beginning and a little bit of your history, and just maybe briefly where how you got here from childhood and where you lived and some of your early history. We're putting this in what I call scores, 0 to 20, 20 to 40, and then 40 to 60, because that's probably where we're done.
Thank you for those very kind words. We are very ordinary people, but we are also proof that when we come to the Lord and put him in the driver's seat, he does give you a very, very meaningful life, and I just want to praise him for that. After those songs this morning, I said to Wendy, we could just go home now. I hate to admit it, but I was born in Toronto. I don't always tell that in the places that we've lived in the world. I had wonderful Christian parents who were serious about their faith, and of course they made a great impression on me. But our household always also had clinical depression, which my dad had, and then my dear auntie, who had had schizophrenia from the time she was 16, lived with us. So it was not a textbook childhood in terms of everything always being peachy keen. That had an impact on my life, most of it for good, though, by the grace of God. When I was about 12, I was diagnosed with a very serious bone disease, a little bit similar to our previous gal last time, and I actually lost 2 years of my life, nearly lost my leg, and many surgeries and that kind of thing. But as I look back on that, you know, God brought great blessing to me out of that, and I'm not saying that just to sound like it's a thing to say, but he really did. I accepted the Lord as a very little girl, but I remember later on in high school, in the grade 12, grade 13, thinking, I really need to decide, is this just what my parents believe, or is this really for me? And I was fortunate to have a couple of good Christian friends at high school, and we would sit around in a spare period and discuss things like life and the meaning of life, and that really was a help for me. I went to teacher's college, and believed that God had led me there, and I was in front of my own classroom at age 19. That's how it happened back in the dark ages.
This is going back a long ways, back to the beginning. Whoever picked the songs out this morning, it was really something, because Why Me, Lord, is the story of my life. My mom and dad were married during the war, and he just went from his wedding to the field in France and in Europe and so on. They were separated for, 4 or 5 years. And then, but when they got married in the east side of Toronto, my dad had a Catholic background. My mom had a Protestant background. And it was a very no-no for them to get married. They were ostracized by both sides, ostracized by the Catholic Church, ostracized by the Protestant Church. I came home from school one day. We had to fill out a form with our religious denomination on it. And I said, Mom, what's our religious denomination? She said, well, just put down Protestant. She said, actually, you're Presbyterian, but I don't know how to spell that. Okay. So it was a difficult time for them, though. The ironic thing is, why me, Lord? There happened to be a church across the street from us in East York. It was a little Brethren Bible Chapel, Glebe Mount Gospel Hall, where my mom would get us all dressed up, me and my four siblings, and send us off, got us dressed in our Sunday clothes and sent us across the street so she would have some peace and quiet in the house. And so we went to the Sunday school there. We heard the gospel. And I remember there's not a lot I remember about my early years, but I remember about 7 years of age, an invitation was given. It wasn't even a kids program. It was a service like this. And the invitation was given to come forward if you would like to pray and receive the Lord Jesus. And I was convicted at that age. There's not a kids program, but I was convicted, and I went forward, and I prayed, and I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. So my Christian life started at that point, but it wasn't easy because I didn't have Christian friends. I didn't have a Christian family. As I grew older, I drifted away from the Lord, drifted away from going to church, and my teenage years were just a downward spiral, getting worse and worse and worse. As I was about 18 or 19, I quit school. I got a job paying minimum wage along with my friends, thought I was living the life, and just wanting to run things myself, do things my own way, and finding out that I could really mess things up. And I was away from the Lord for most of my teenage years. Maybe, should I go on from there? This is the next decade. It wasn't as if, as a teenager, it wasn't as if I rebelled, but it was as if I didn't know the Lord was there, and he just wasn't real to me, and so I was doing my own thing. This was in the 1960s, if you remember that time period. So I really messed things up, dropped out of school, and found out how low I could go in life. And it was God's grace that kept me and brought me through. But my story also is an encouragement for you to not be concerned when you're reaching boys and girls with the gospel. If they come from non-Christian families, say, what's the point? They're not going to be a believer. They're not going to grow up in Christ. They're in a secular home, so why bother? And some people think that way, but I guess I'm the testimony that the Lord does keep us. The Lord preserves us in spite of our mistakes and our wrong ways. When I was about 19, a friend invited me to Knox Presbyterian Church in downtown Toronto. And I found out later he only invited me because his mother was putting pressure on him to come to church. So he was trying to find somebody to go with him. But Knox Presbyterian, if you're not familiar with them, is an evangelical Presbyterian church who had a dynamic outreach into the university crowd on Spadina Avenue. And I got introduced to the College and Careers group, and there was something different about them. They had something that I didn't have. I could see it in them. I could just receive the thing that they had going for them. Of course, it didn't take long for me to hear that the gospel mentioned there. I heard the gospel that the Lord Jesus died, that we could receive him as our Savior, that he rose again and he wanted to live in our hearts. And as I heard the gospel being explained and preached in, through this youth group, the light came on for me. I remember the decision I made as a child, and I said, Lord, I did make that decision as a seven-year-old, and what's happened since then? And I found out that I needed to pray to rededicate my life. So when you mess things up, you need to pray and repent and turn your life over to the Lord and dedicate yourself to him. And so I did that and came back to the Lord at that time. And it was through that College and Careers group that Beth and I met, and we came together. And when the Lord was working in our life enough that we could get married and stay out of trouble, then... what was I going to say?
Oh, right. We're going to transition, I think, to Beth.
So, yeah, I better give it to you now.
So now, becoming the Reynolds, connecting and those sorts of things, but a bit more your teenage years, too. Thank you.
Sorry, what's that?
We want to get to becoming the Reynolds and moving into your next stage in life, but yeah. How did you meet? And give us a bit more of that information, please.
Well, actually, the next big deal was during our first year of marriage. We were living in Toronto, but my folks had retired to Wingham, Ontario, where we had long contacts. I've said to Ron, you know, I probably have the words Mount Forest, in my mind for as long as I remember, because they had these connections with the Wingham area. So it was at Wingham, we were there for a holiday with a May 24th weekend, that we heard from this girl, the pastor's daughter there, had just come back from this amazing Bible school in Saskatchewan that we had never heard of, and we had never thought of Bible school. So she was like this on-fire evangelist for Miller College of the Bible, and it was really cheap in those days. And all of a sudden, it was like this amazing idea. We could quit our jobs and go to Bible school. And that's what we did. We ended up going out to Miller that next September in 1973. And that was just a whole, the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful story of living in faith. We do not have time, so don't worry, I'm not going to go there. But seriously, the way God worked in and through our lives from the classroom, from learning more about him, from the experiences, you know, even being in prayer groups and having it modeled that you really do take prayer seriously, from being exposed to missions. And then in our second year, we had no money and we went back to school in faith. So that was a whole long story of seeing God literally provide for us, provide for our food and provide for our finances, which he had called us to at that point in time, obviously. So that was the beginning, and we ended up spending We spent two stints in Saskatchewan because Ron later on got involved in the financial administration of two different Bible colleges. I went back to teaching. We did live in Fergus for 9 years in the 1990s in between our Saskatchewan times, and lots of wonderful lessons, lots of hardships too. I think that that verse in Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and
snares.
Thank you. I have already come. That's our story. We've had our share of heartbreak and disappointment, but you know the Lord has just He has just brought us through those times in amazing ways, and blessed us and deepened us in ways that we didn't even know we needed. I can't praise Him enough when I think of it. And even coming here, even coming to this church, like Pastor Dan said, walking in the front door, we wanted to age in place. And so we bought this house in downtown and thought, okay, 10, 15 years from now, if we lose our licenses but we're still able to live, we can walk around. Now, the food land was still there when we bought the house. It was gone by the time we moved in. But anyway, we were looking for a church. The idea of walking to church was really good. And the other thing is that, because you've talked, Pastor Dan, about the gospel in this digital age, we looked at websites. And for us, we've moved around a fair amount. And if a church has a good website, in our opinion, that shows that these people are living in the 21st century and have a heart for people outside the four walls. So kudos to the people who are involved with the website, because that was one thing that we checked off on our list before we walked in the door. But the Lord has just confirmed to us time and time again that this is the place for us to be. We can thank Miss Caroline Barron, whom some of you may know, for dragging us into leading a Bible study, which has been a wonderful blessing, and the lovely, lovely people that we are meeting there who love us back. So we're grateful to God. One thing that I would like to say, and then I'll hand it back to Ron, is I think the thing that I have learned more over the years than anything else is to always run to the Lord. Whatever situation you're in, whether it's your fault and you know it or not, go to Him with whatever your heart is full of, whatever is keeping you away from Him. Go to the Lord, because He is the fixer. He will fix stuff. You'll still have consequences, but He'll sustain you through the consequences. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. And that's my word of testimony.
She took the words out of my mouth.
No, you had a different one, because we shared this before.
No, my story especially is a song of redemption. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. That's the story of my life. And I just thank the Lord for bringing us together, because Beth could not be a better spouse for me in my needs. And together we've worked through a lot of dark valleys as well as mountaintop experiences. We thank the Lord and praise the Lord for how He's led us to three different provinces and all these churches and the ministries we've been involved in, local church ministry, denominational ministry, missions agencies, and local church, and how important it is to be committed and to see the Lord working in us and through us. I have the words of lyrics that I would like to share, unless you have other questions for us.
You share your song, and I got one more question.
I like the Bill Gaither songs, but there's a song that was actually popularized by the Promise Keepers men several years ago, and it's called Grace Alone. And that's what our life is, by grace alone. And you can probably identify with this yourself. Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference that we can make is only by His grace. Every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace. Grace alone. which God supplies, strength unknown he will provide, Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown he will provide, Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Let's praise God for his grace.
So we've got some young people here. You've both walked with the Lord for a long, long time. And could you just, in a short sort of sentence or a little bit longer, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ as you would communicate to a stranger? And one piece of advice for the young people who are not sure what that next 60 years is going to look like, and encourage them in their walk with the Lord, the gospel, and as we walk forward with Jesus?
That's a good question. The gospel, we should always be prepared to share the gospel. The gospel can be shared many different ways. The Apostle Paul says, I've become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. Some of us are into technology, some are not, but sharing the gospel message, what way can you do it? There's a five finger of the gospel where we can go through and say, would you like me to tell you the most important story there is on my five fingers? God loves you, John 3:16. You have sinned, we have sinned, I have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're separated from God because of our sins, but Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty. He took the shame for your sins and my sins, and he paid the price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so if you hold your hand like this and remember those 5 points, hold your hand like this. Who's your thumb pointing to? Pointing to you. God loves you, Dan, and God died for you. God wants you to become his child. So you can share through the five finger points, or you can share through, there's apps you can get for your phone that have spiritual laws and the gospel message. So if you're into technology or not into technology, it's good to have one way that if somebody stops you on the street and said, what is this about anyway? You can tell them, let me tell you on my five fingers.
The other thing I want to add to that is because I have struggled over the years with witnessing. We used to be preached at to witness, and what does that actually mean? And oh dear, I didn't think of that at the time, you know. And to come to the point where I can trust the Lord that if I didn't think of that, and I was walking in the Spirit, then that's His problem, not mine. But I've been going to a Bible study at Bonnie House. Kim invited me last year, and it's been lovely to meet the ladies at that Bible study. Our speaker, David Platt, this past winter, he talked about something that has given me great peace and freedom. And he talked about a two-pronged approach to sharing the gospel with people. First of all, the idea of weaving in gospel threads. And he defined gospel threads basically the same way as Ron gave the gospel facts. He had a G-O-S-P-E-L acronym, yeah, similar to that. But his point was that even when you're just talking to somebody, you know, you can as the Holy Spirit leads you, you can bring something in about God's goodness, for example. Just little threads. It doesn't have to be the whole gospel every single time and then beat yourself because you didn't have the opportunity to present the whole gospel that time. But the other part of that is he said that you identify people in your sphere of influence who you feel the Lord is directing you to, and you start praying for them. So the prayer by name of people for people. In conjunction with the gospel threads, when the Lord opens a little way for you to say, and I'll give you an example of this. I don't consider myself a perfect evangelist, far from it. But I know when we, being up at Food Basics, when the tariffs were first announced, you know, and people didn't know what was going on, and they were kind of, we're all kind of freaking out trying to buy food, you know. And I, now that I'm older, I can talk to people. They just might think I'm a weird old lady, but that's okay. I still talk to them. And so there were a couple of people of the same age came in and were looking over whatever it was, the food there. And I just said something about, well, I guess we all are hoping that we're going to have food to eat or something like that. I don't know. And they go, yeah, la, 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 la. They're really worried. And then it popped into my mind, so I said it. Well, we just have to remember what we used to say in school when we'd say the Lord's Prayer every day, give us this day our daily bread, right? We have to rely on the good Lord. Like, to me, that's an example of weaving in a gospel thread. I don't know where the Lord's going to take it, but he's promised that he will take his word as you're planting the seeds.
Thank you. Your life is a beautiful testimony to he who began a good work in you. 7 years old, little kids hearing the gospel the first time. He does begin the work with many of us in our childhood. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As we drove up today, a beautiful song came on, and I just couldn't help but think of you two.
So I will be emotional.
Goes like this. Since I started following Jesus, since my life, he controls. Since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You really give off that sweetness and that that fragrance of Jesus. The more I love him, the sweeter he grows. The more I'm with him, the more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I can tell that's real.
We can say amen to that, Pastor Dan. And I have to add to it, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen. We're going to pray for you. Father, thank you for these good and perfect gifts straight from your heart to us. Give them many more years, Lord, of fruitful, faithful service till they meet you face to face and they receive that beautiful divine accolade. Well done, good, faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your rest. Thank you for their example. Thank you for their love. We love them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks. You going to be okay? That's all I need is two microphones, eh? Mark.